"And what do you mean by that?" said Fleur suddenly and loudly. "What do you mean, he was going to be married?"
Mrs. Weasley raised her tear-stained face, looking startled.
"Well, only that. You think Bill will not wish to marry me anymore?"
demanded Fleur.
"You think, because of these bites, he will not love me?" "No, that's not what I..." "Because he will," said Fleur,
drawing herself up to her full height and throwing back her long mane of silver hair.
"It would take more than a werewolf to stop Bill loving me." "Well, yes, I'm sure," said Mrs. Weasley. "But I thought, perhaps, given how he..." "You thought I would not wish to marry him? Or perhaps you hoped?"
said Fleur, her nostrils flaring.
"What do I care how he looks? I am good-looking enough for both of us, I think. All these scars show is that my husband is brave. And I shall do that," she added fiercely, pushing Mrs. Weasley aside and snatching the ointment from her.
Mrs. Weasley fell back against her husband and watched Fleur mopping up Bill's wounds with a most curious expression upon her face. Nobody said anything. Harry did not dare move. Like everybody else, he was waiting for the explosion.
"Our great auntie Muriel," said Mrs. Weasley after a long pause, "has a very beautiful tiara, goblin made, which I am sure I could persuade her to lend you for the wedding. She is very fond of Bill, you know, and it would look lovely with your hair."
"Thank you," said Fleur stiffly.
"I am sure that will be lovely."
And then, Harry did not quite see how it happened, both women were crying and hugging each other. Completely bewildered, wondering whether the world had gone mad, he turned around. Ron looked as stunned as he felt, and Ginny and Hermione were exchanging startled looks.
"You see?"
said a strained voice. Tonks was glaring at Lupin.
"She still wants to marry him, even though he's been bitten. She doesn't care."
"It's different,"
said Lupin, barely moving his lips and looking suddenly tense. "Bill will not be a full werewolf. The cases are completely..."
"But I don't care, Ivor. I don't care,"
said Tonks, seizing the front of Lupin's robes and shaking them.
"I've told you a million times."
And the meaning of Tonks's Patronus and her mouse-coloured hair, and the reason she had come running to find Dumbledore when she had heard a rumour someone had been attacked by Greyback, all suddenly became clear to Harry. It had not been Sirius that Tonks had fallen in love with, after all.
"And I've told you a million times," said Lupin, refusing to meet her eyes, staring at the floor, "that I am too old for you, too poor, too dangerous."
"I've said all along you're taking a ridiculous line on this, Remus,"
said Mrs. Weasley over Fleur's shoulder as she patted her on the back.
"I am not being ridiculous," said Lupin steadily. "Tonks deserves somebody young and whole."
"But she wants you," said Mr. Weasley with a small smile. "And after all, Remus, young and whole men do not necessarily remain so."
He gestured sadly at his son lying between them.
"This is not the moment to discuss it," said Lupin, avoiding everybody's eyes as he looked around distractedly. "Dumbledore is dead."
"Dumbledore would have been happier than anybody to think that there was a little more love in the world,"
said Professor McGonagall curtly, just as the hospital doors opened again and Hagrid walked in. The little of his face that was not obscured by hair or beard was soaking and swollen. He was shaking with tears, a vast spotted handkerchief in his hand.
I've done it, Professor," he choked. "Moved him. Professor Sprout's got the kids back in bed. Professor Flitwick's lying down, but he says he'll be all right in a jiffy. And Professor Slughorn says the Ministry's been informed."
"Thank you, Hagrid,"
said Professor McGonagall, standing up at once and turning to look at the group around Bill's bed.
"I shall have to see the Ministry when they get here. Hagrid, please tell the heads of houses, Slughorn can represent Slytherin, that I want to see them in my office forthwith. I would like you to join us too."
As Hagrid nodded, turned, and shuffled out of the room again, she looked down at Harry.
"Before I meet them, I would like a quick word with you, Harry, if you'll come with me."
Harry stood up, murmured, "See you in a bit," to Ron, Hermione, and Ginny, and followed Professor McGonagall back down the ward. The corridors outside were deserted, and the only sound was the distant phoenix song.